I'm just quickly going to see if I can do a revised summary version of my sermon. You'll see why I could actually just push through and go home, but I believe maybe there's one or two things that we can quickly share scripture that is apt this morning for us as believers. That was much like many other worship services that you've been to before, right? Who was blessed by this time? Who was highly offended by this time? It's not to be funny. It's not to be too raw, because you can be raw for raw sake, or you can be raw because it's really real. And sometimes it's just, because what happens is we come against a religious spirit. What's a religious spirit? It's one that says you have to do it like this, like that, and the other. And God says, no, I don't see that in the Gospels. I don't see Christ doing that. So we can just say, hey, if this is truly family, let's just share about the stuff that really hurts, and sometimes it's testing. We don't have to do it every week, praise God, but sometimes it's necessary. We are at the hand of the prophetic word and the heart of the Spirit shared with our congregation this year, or at the latter end of this year, that the Lord's got a heart for the lost, that we should be kinsmen redeemers, that we should be fishers of men. Out of that, I believe this was briefly birthed a sermon series that we're ending of the year off called Life. Why is that? That is because if somebody should come to you, if you should connect like Chris is doing brilliantly with somebody on the bus, please, ma'am, your child, then we should... I always wanted to say that, but I'm just joking. Anyway, humor is also necessary in church sometimes. The bottom line is we need to be life givers. We need to have life to give life. Now, you get three types of life we said to each other. You get the psyche life, that's your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Artists, they've got a lot of soul life, but it's not everlasting. It's not a God-like life. So you get psyche life, psychological life, bio, all of you. Breathe in, breathe out. You've got bio life, it's flesh life. And then lastly is the one, Zoe life. So we need Zoe life, lots of it. So Chris can give a pamphlet to somebody, but if that pamphlet and that action and that moment is not in Zoe life, but it's just the psyche life, it's not going to bear any fruit, or at least not good fruit. So you see many religious people standing on corners, maybe shouting out something or standing there in the heat with lots of warm clothes on. I don't know why. And they give pamphlets, but if it doesn't carry Zoe life, if the words on that pamphlet and that action is not carrying Zoe life, it's not going to bear fruit. And so if we say, yes, come, the lost, come, culture, come, community, come into our church community, come, be part of our lives, but we don't have life in ourselves, we're going to waste everybody's time. So we want to be fountains of life, Zoe life, God-like life, and we want to be givers of that. And so we've had about four sermons on that. The last one I did was about rivers in deserts. And who does the Lord want to use in the deserts in your life? Who does He want to use? Us, yes. Who's the river? Springs of living water should flow from your belly. So that when Chris is on either on the My City bus or he's walking on the street or at a coffee shop, what he should say is, Spirit, come. You're the one, the only one that can give life. I can have this amazing theological, cognitive way to bring something across, but if it's not from the Spirit, man, if it's not from the Holy Spirit, the wellspring, the river, it's not going to help the individual. And so that is for all of us, as Chris said this morning. George also shared a brilliant message about life where there's community and where there's unity. He said, humility is needed. Ownership, that is a very important thing. The people that I've seen that enjoy church the most and get the most Zoe life out of church is those that take ownership. Who looks after your car? I'm sure Philip looks after his car pretty darn well, because he's got ownership. Hopefully he's got ownership over his car. He looks after his bike quite well. And so whatever you have in your life that you really have dear to the heart, you'll look after. And so likewise, there's life where there's ownership. And so I want to encourage you to take ownership of where the Lord has planted you. But today, there's just two things I quickly want to share. And I think it comes with the heart of this morning. And that is, where we want Zoe life, there's two things needed: a willing heart and sacrifice. Who likes sacrifice? No hand. Look at Jesus. There's work. So I know what the theme for next year should be. A willing heart is the only place, or the only thing, only conduit that the Spirit can work through. John 6:63 says, "The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all." Remember this verse. We're tagging onto this verse this whole time. The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The flesh doesn't help at all. The Spirit is the one who gives life. So I can do church, I can do religion, I can do all of this nice stuff, but it can be the flesh and it doesn't help at all. Or I can partner with the Spirit, as I believe and trust and hope that we did this morning, in doing something different, not just to be different, but to say the Spirit just wants to come and shine a light. Come on, let's just bring an honest worship offering. Not seeing these words on the board that musicians brilliantly prepared, but actually your heart stinking and offended with God. And ticked off. No, let's be honest. And so with the Spirit, there's life. And likewise, we need willing hearts. The Spirit only flows through a willing heart. The beauty of the new covenant, I said there, as opposed to the law in the old covenant, is that it does not command what it not also empowers me for. What does that mean? Old covenant says you have to do, you have to do, you have to do. Religious people or religious institutions or religious spirit will say you have to do, you have to do, you have to do to become. The new covenant says no, you are, so be. It's an inside-out job, not an outside-in job. It's an inside-out job, not an outside-in job. So, I've been given a new heart. So the law is on my heart. By the grace of God, there was a small group this morning that cleaned this place because it was an absolute mess. Now, I know their flesh probably said a couple of things in their inward parts. But by the grace of God, they came at 7 o'clock because they made a commitment to the Lord. Not to me, not to the school. Not to Orange, but to God, because He gave them a new heart, and they believe in church. They believe in the kingdom. And this morning they came because there was a law on their heart, even though it's tough getting up on a Sunday morning, as with all of our setup people. And so God says, I give you a new heart. Jeremiah 31, 33 and 34. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with those of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hebrews 10:16 says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. I've got a couple with three kids. They're missionaries. The lady is from Malmesbury. Her husband's from somewhere in France. They're missionaries in Ethiopia. Their kids is usually permanently sick with some virus they can hardly define or identify at all times. They come back for a couple of months and then they pack their bucky and they go back up to Ethiopia. I know, Jesus, that can only be a new heart. The willingness for that surpasses all understanding in my heart. And so there's millions of stories for which we don't have time. Some of them sitting right here. Richard and Eleanor is not here today. But the work they do through willing hearts has been given to them by God giving them a new heart. Who of us, if somebody should come with the law and say, you have to start this house and you have to get these children and you have to look after them for the rest of your life, we'll really struggle with doing that. But if the Lord comes from the inside out and says, here, I give you a heart for the following, it's totally different. That's the beauty. The beauty is, and what I want to remind us as a church is that He will help you to have a willing heart, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. Let's quickly look at Philippians 2:12. I said they will and do. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Just look at the precursor. Just look at that sentence before we hit the main theme in verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure.
or purpose, other translations says. So it's God that will work in you to both will and to do. Isn't that brilliant? Not do, but be. And from that being, having your doings, because it's from the inside out. But as I said, Paul says there, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So it's not a matter of sitting on the couch saying, well, God is just not speaking to me. I'm just going to watch a bit of telly. Just going to chill it out. Just going to munch a bit. Just going to do what my culture does. Just going to hang out here until God comes and touches my heart. No, there is a place where you engage. You need to engage with the Word. I think Daniel referred to the Word this morning in intercession. Or somebody did. You need to engage with the Word. You need to engage with His church. You need to engage in fellowship. You need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And in the process, in being in the fire, He's going to work in your heart. Otherwise, we just end up in the flesh. And that's important to remember. Say, will and do. Say, He will lead me to will and do. So if Retief comes and says, please, we need somebody at the coffee table, then you can tell him, He will lead me to will and do. And He's not led me to will and do. But then I'm just going to ask you, what? How many hours of PlayStation do you actually have to play a day, Demi? And she's like, 9. And I'm like, that's maybe the thing. How about just trading 3 of those 9 hours for the Word? And the next week I'm like, Demi, coffee table please. Like, the Lord has led me to will and to do. This is not all about the coffee table. This is about reaching the nations. This is about being people of Zoe life. This is about being kingsmen redeemers and to actually have a heart for the lost. Not to just to do it because the dominates us. No, because it's in my inwardmost being. He has led me to will and to do. So now if He leads me to will and to do, what's the problem? Why don't we will and do? I think there's 2 things. It's our will is the problem and obedience. You need to submit. You need to give your will. This morning, maybe in walking in fear of man, I could have said, no, rather, let's just finish and let's just go into preaching because that's what we do. But no, I need to submit my will and say, Christ, I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure. What do you want to do? We've not hit it yet. I know we've not broken through. But what now? I need to trust the Lord in my heart that He will and do, but I need to give Him my will. Who of you freely give your will to the Lord every day?
That's Merk Conrad. Tell us more about that.
It sounds so easy in church. It sounds so easy in saying it, but it's a totally different ballgame. It's not easy doing it at home either, where there's conflict of interests the whole time. It's not that easy. Moving on. What I believe is the key is we need to give Him as a church community, as individuals. If we want to be Kingsman Redeemers and be Zoe Life Rivers, we need to say, Lord, You will help me to will and do, but I need to give You my will. What does it look like? And what does obedience look like? Now, we know that there's only the Spirit that gives life, but you know that we can actually sin against the Holy Spirit? I could have sinned this morning against the Holy Spirit. You could have sinned against the Holy Spirit and stayed home this morning. Can I get an amen, please? It's never happened before. But we can sin against the Holy Spirit. How do we sin against the Holy Spirit? Because remember, God says, I work in you to will and to do. I'll give you a willing heart. But you still have a free will with which you can choose to be obedient to what is written on your heart. 3 ways in which we can sin against the Holy Spirit. We resist the Spirit. We quench the Holy Spirit. And then we grieve the Spirit. This happens, unfortunately, much more than we could ever realize. We resist the Spirit, we quench the Spirit, we grieve the Spirit. We resist the Spirit by doing what? He's prompted me to give you a flower. I walk by, you've been asking God, just give me a flower, Lord. If you really love me, just give me a flower. And I walk by a garden on my way to you, and I just don't pick it up. I just don't. We were staying in Malmesbury, and the Lord said to me, He'll provide 1 month. Every month, He just came through, like miraculously. In that 1 month, I was praying, but I didn't sense a peace. End of the month came, and everything fell through. Our debit orders didn't go off. It was a total mess. I'm like, Lord, where are you? We're obviously in sin because things didn't work out. And he said to me, somebody didn't do what I told them to do. I'm like, Lord, okay, firstly, I'm at home. I'm not working. That's a very easy thing to hear. Somebody else is not paying for me to stay at home. God was putting us through a test and it was his heart. But so I'm immediately conflicted thinking, well, I'm a bit of subjective here. Maybe I'm just hearing wrong. He says somebody's not being obedient. But what I realized is that it has serious consequences if somebody's not listening to the Spirit. Because a week later, praise God, Hein came. I didn't chat to him about it. He sat down and he said, I prayed for you all of Saturday. And I saw God crying. I'm like, that's weird. And I asked why. He said, I asked the Lord and he said, somebody's not being obedient and sowing into their life. And immediately I started to tear up. Before that, I was thinking, is this just me? Long story short, what did we learn out of that? God doesn't come around if on the last day of the month, the person is not obedient with a magic wand. Boom. No. It has an effect. It makes him as a father look bad. Somebody, one of his sons and daughters are not listening. And so immediately myself and Edna said to one another, if the Lord calls us to give a prophetic word, it's not about finances. It can be a prophetic word. It can be a sermon. It can be a hug. It can be a coffee. We need to remember to be obedient to what the Spirit says. And so we can sin against the Spirit if we don't will it. Resist the Spirit. Quench the Spirit. Like this morning, the Spirit is moving. Somebody's like, oh, this is awkward. I don't like this. Come, grabs the mic and say, no, this quenches the work of the Spirit. That unfortunately happens as well. And then lastly, to grieve the Spirit. Go read Ephesians 4. It says about malicious speaking, slander, a bunch of stuff that you can do. Moving on to our last point, and that is sacrifice. So God says, I give you a willing heart, but we need to give our will to Him. We need to be careful not to sin against the Holy Spirit. Because I can easily think, by the way, I can easily think if my flesh just shouts loud enough in fear or selfishness of comfort, that no, that's not the Lord. That's not the Lord. But it's your flesh speaking. And for that, you need to be in the Word. And for that, I would suggest be accountable. That's why accountability is good. Because Peter will very easily then speak into my life and say, well, are you sure that's the Spirit saying to you that you need to take a sabbatical for 14 months without people leading the church? Are you sure? Oh, no, not sure. No, I'm not sure. Exactly. Second point, willing heart, sacrifice. Who likes the word sacrifice again? Jesus, yes, the one that gives you a willing heart to also sacrifice. Now, there's a movie clip, I can't play it now, but the first thing is, who's recently had a baby? What you've gone through, that's recent enough. But have you realized to give life, to have life, you need to give life. To keep a young one afloat, to keep them alive, takes a heck of a lot of sacrifice. Who's got children? I hear sacrifice. Yes! But it takes sacrifice. Who wants this church to be full of Zoe life? What do we have to sow in sacrifice? Life. You need to sow what you have to harvest what you have. But if you've got Zoe life, you need to sacrifice. Is this a self-righteous, dead works type of thing? No, it's not a fleshly work. It is with the Spirit we will be called to sacrifice. Yeah, but Christ has already died. Grace says I can just now chill out. That's a big, big, major theological issue, I believe, in the modern church. I can just now be. Because He just loves on me. Yes, He loves on you to love through you. Because He loves the others as well. And so Christ's sacrifice is the perfect sacrifice. We can't add to salvation. But there's a lot of stuff. After you get saved, there's a lot of stuff that you can partake in with Christ in sacrifice. Dodd White says, we are a living sacrifice to God. Don't jump off the altar when the fire gets hot. Let me repeat that. We've got more than enough time.
We are a living sacrifice to God. Don't jump off the altar when the fire gets hot. I've never had doubts about full-time ministry. Never. Not at all. I've been through a fire this year that for moments I was thinking, Lord, this is too hot. But praise God, it's not my choice. And praise God, I can really sense that He's brought me through this. But don't get off the altar. But the fire can't come if there's not a sacrifice, by the way. The second thing is, there's a beautiful, Dirk would have loved this, but we don't have time. It's just a beautiful testimonial of people that lost loved ones at war. So we know that if you get a newborn, you need to look after life. You need to give life. You need to sacrifice. But also in war. And how this testimonial of family members saying, I lost my father. I lost this. Lost this person. But if they had not died, if they had not gone to war, I would not have been there. Our independence would not have been there. We, our generation, would not have been there. And I just realized that there's such sacrificial giving, bios giving, in worldly war. How much more in spiritual wars? So you can see the parallel that I wanted to draw there. And so guess what, guys? We are all in spiritual wars. But Demi, having a massive influence over lots of young ones, need to choose every day, am I going to be a war veteran? Am I going to be the sacrifice for the kingdom of God so that other people might taste the kingdom as well? It might be one, it might be 1,500. Some of you need to make decisions to say, I'll go to war with Christ on behalf of my kids so that they can live. Some of you this morning stepped into the spiritual warrior at church saying, I will clean up so that Zoe life can come later. There's a reality check that we need to go through when we say, come lost. The church system will sort you out. Come, ja, there is hope. But are you willing to go to war for the people that you are wanting to invite in? Are you willing to be one of those thousands of people that lay down their lives, so to speak, in a spiritual war so that others can live? I never understood full-time ministry, by the way, and the wars of that until I stepped into it. And I know we're all in full-time ministry, but it's the weirdest thing. And the bottom line is, what I realized, and it's not about me, but I realized, you don't switch off. The battle, the war doesn't end. The battle for your kids, for your spouse, for your marriage, it never ends. But God will help us with that sacrifice. Definition of sacrifice, firstly, in the spiritual sense or the Christian sense, you know what it means. But there's a second part of that definition that I like. Give up something valued for the sake of other considerations. Who of you are willing to give up something valued for the sake of other considerations in this time? Because that is what we need to ask ourselves. If we want to be Zoe Life Rivers, if we want to be Kingsman Redeemers, there's stuff that we value. I value time. You might be valuing certain comforts. You might be valuing hobbies. Who values their money? Who's honest? Who values their money? I'm going to ask you once more. Who values their money? Great. This is not a tithing message, by the way. This is a reality check. It's just to say, what do I value? And do I value my father's business? And what am I willing to sow that I value? What am I willing to sacrifice in life so that others can live? So that God's voice can be seen and heard in other people's lives. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and the sacrifice of God. Now quickly, what is the cost of sacrifice? It's time, resources, money, capacity, comfort. I think that's probably the biggest thing actually in our culture. Not money, is not, because it's comfortable to sometimes click, with all due respect.
but time. This morning was totally uncomfortable for some people.
Was it uncomfortable for anybody?
I'm referring to the setup. The setup of church was not too comfortable, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Heart, give up your own vision. Who's ever had to give up their own vision for a season?
Edna, why does your hand, what, Liffy?
Yuck, yeah, is your right? Her hand's like, boom, it's like, oh, okay. Priorities, commitment, affection, cost of commitment, affection and connection. Who knows William Wilberforce? Who knows Nelson Mandela? Who knows John the Baptist, Paul? Who knows of the Moravian community that started to pray in 1727 and prayed nonstop for 100 years? I want to ask you again, are we really hungry for the harvest? What of value are you willing to sow and lay down for what is valuable to Him? For if He is valuable to me, what is valued by Him will become valuable to me.
Who's excited about the loss?
Me too.
Amen.
Because God will work both in us to will and to do. I'm going to skip one or two verses and just go to Galatians 6 verse 7 as we close. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit, I would like to say Zoe life, will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You can go look at that definition. It is Zoe. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up.
Pietri said that this morning in terms of the fig tree again, I believe.
I want to encourage you. Yes, it's going to cost. If you want the real with the Lord, it's going to cost. Jesus paid the ultimate sanctifying price, laid down his life, but he also calls us to do the same with that fragrance. It's going to cost you, but he's going to help your heart if you let him. And if in certain areas, who's sowed in an area, sown so much life in a relationship, sown so much, but they've not seen a harvest at all. Amen. What does the scripture say? Do not give up. Do not give up. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. I want to implore you, Shepherd David, it will cost you, but make up your mind. Make up your mind. Say, Lord, I want to value what you value, but my heart's not there yet. And I've been in that place. But then he will work in my heart. Three words that I'm going to leave you with that I believe is important. Those three is value, tank, and focus. Quickly say value, tank, focus. Ask God to reprioritize what we value. Share it last week. Say, Lord, I value what things look like. I value material things. I value my comfort more than I value your heart, your mission, your kingdom. I'm sorry, work at my heart. Very easy. Lord, I'm struggling to sow finance. Lord, I'm struggling to sow my time. Lord, I'm struggling to sow my comfort for somebody else's eternal destiny. Because when we grieve the Spirit, when we miss the Spirit, it has an effect. It's cuckoo to think that if I walk in disobedience, somebody else is not going to feel it. If I walk in disobedience in my homes, my children will feel it. Hy sê kosie, skies, God gaan 'n plan maak, lekker slaap. And sometimes as Christians we have that attitude. Are you willing? Are you willing to lay down? So value. Say, Lord, what do I value? Please give me your value system. Second thing is tank. Guys, it is absolutely impossible for me to have a sacrificial heart if my tank is empty. If I've not been with the sacrifice, I cannot sacrifice. I'm going to repeat that. I think it's a good one to remember. If I don't spend time with the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, I will not be able to sacrifice. You can ask my wife. If I've given too much, if I've been in the flesh, and I have to do this little thing for her, I freak out.
Ek moet alles doen. Ek voel of ek alles moet doen. Ek voel so ma.
And then I moan, I've got a thick lip. Why? Because I'm empty. I have no ability to think sacrificially. But when I've been with Christ, when I've been in a good quiet time, when I've been in the Word, and Edna asked me the same thing, she'll have a totally different approach. When the church asks you, your church community asks or expects of you to do something, and you're like, check your tank. Well, check your attitude and check your tank. Because the Christian walk is one of sacrifice. I'm at the end of the year. My tank is not that full. So my sacrificial abilities is not that much. Boom. There's an honest moment again. And the third thing is focus. In the world, where we want to earn, we want to keep, we want to be safe, the focus will always be about what I sow. The focus is on the seed. But I've given so much. I've given so much time. I've given so much money. I've sanctified and given and sacrificed so much. Yet Christ, when he came down to earth, was not focusing on the seed himself. That wasn't. He was seeing you. That was his focus, Chris. When he sowed, when he sacrificed, he was seeing each and every one of us. That's who he saw. So when we sacrifice, we can either look at what I have to do, or we can say, Lord, come, lift up my gaze, lift up my eyes that I can see the harvest. Die vyeboom lyk nie baie hard nie, Here. Ek sien 'n oes, ek sien 'n wingerd, ek sien nuwe wyn. I see whole families, I see whole marriages, I see children being raised godly, respecting and loving their parents, walking in the Spirit, not being succumbing to religion and dead works, but knowing the Spirit. God, I see people that love your word. I see a people that actually want to pray, not have to pray, Lord. I see that, Lord. And that's what the Lord is calling you to. Will there be a price? Will there be a cost? Absolutely. But our choice is, where's the focus going to be? Will you stand with me, please? Oh, will somebody please phone Chris Pretorius and say, I've almost done a sermon in 35 minutes. That is a new record. He'll be so, so surprised. Father God, thank you that we want to be willing sacrifices. And we want to give willing sacrifices, Lord. Lord, this morning we say thank you that you did not come with this rigid law and say, your church needs to do this, that, and the other. No, you come from the inside out and say, I will work in your hearts, just let me. And once I've worked in your heart, I will flow Zoe rivers out of your heart, but there's a cost involved of obedience. And so, Lord, just if the first thing, your heart and your willingness is maybe something you just want to lift up to the Lord, just raise your hand. We're going to pray for willing hearts. Lord, thank you for these hands. We just want to say, whatever your plans are, whatever your agenda, whatever your vision, give me a willing heart. Lord, sometimes there's very small, seemingly insignificant stuff that we have to do, but I think it's big to you. Lord, if it's this chair and that chair and the other chair, give me a willing heart, Lord. If it's mopping, give me a willing heart. If it's preaching, give me a willing heart. If it's talking to somebody on a My City Bus, give me a willing heart. If it's my neighbor, if it's a family member, if it's my own children, give me a willing heart. I commit my will, I commit my heart, we commit our will, we commit our hearts and say, Lord, give us willing hearts. And then secondly, if sacrifice is a bit of a hard word to swallow, but you want to say, Lord, help me to value and to have my focus right, maybe just say a yes to the Lord by just indicating to Him. Lord, I pray that there's legends in this church. I'm not going to single them out now. I've got them written down. But there's legends in this church that if they had not taken up the call on their hearts to lay down their lives and to sacrifice in 8 or so years gone by, we would not have stood here today. So firstly, we come and honor and say thank you for the hours upon hours that has been sown and sacrificed in this place. And then we just ask, Father God, give us the ability to value what is truly valuable and eternal, and to sow, to give away, to sacrifice what you call us to sacrifice. Nothing more, nothing less. In Jesus' name. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Lord, call us into a new season. We will have willing hearts to sacrifice so that others can be truly loved, that they can meet Christ, and that they can have eternity with us. In Jesus' name.